You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagur and Wilhelm here. We'll take your phone calls and your tweets, obviously, throughout the show, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Andrea in Cleveland before we get into our awards. Andrea, how are you?
Dang. Well, already, good take there.
Gone.
Hot take.
Hold on. Let me try her again.
Hello?
Hey.
Okay, it sounded like you lost my call. Am I on or am I off?
Always helps if you actually punch up the right one.
Andrea, okay. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, okay, so I know this isn't the Golden Voice, but I've heard a repeating theme of how great the Broncos are, and, you know, the Browns need help, and we all know that. But specifically, the Golden Boys tend to, you know, okay, Aaron drools over the Broncos. We all know that. But I have heard rumors that the Broncos and the Browns' worlds could collide. And I'm talking about Peyton Manning here in Cleveland. What do you guys think of that?
I think that it's interesting. And I know that people make the connection, the obvious connection between Jimmy Haslam and Peyton Manning from Tennessee. I think that with this new organization in the way that it has been structured, I don't see Peyton Manning coming into it anytime soon.
I don't either, and I think that Peyton Manning, I don't necessarily see Peyton Manning want to dive right into a very large challenge after a very successful career. You know, he probably wants to make a lateral move, especially finishing his career potentially, you know, in a Super Bowl, or that's for sure, or winning a Super Bowl, that he's going to want to jump out and jump right into a lot of work. You know, and maybe the competitive nature in him and what made him great and so precise and smart in his career that he can apply. He's probably going to take a year and evaluate other situations, because there will be a seat at a broadcasting desk. There will be a seat on
whatever he wants.
A majority of management positions or a consulting position with an NFL team whenever he wants.
Yeah, I think whenever he wants, he'll be able to get it done. All right, should we do some awards, Gibbs?
I think we should. Let's have a little fun.
Let's have a little fun. Why not?
You know, I mean, it's just amazing. You could just see it on the players at the Super Bowl. They're tired of talking. Today's their last day. They have to talk. And tomorrow, just the coaches and the commissioners.
It's too much.
Everybody's bored.
I'm bored with it. I haven't watched much Super Bowl coverage. Honestly, my interest in the Super Bowl would have been so much higher if it was Patriots-Panthers. Like, not even close. I could care less.
I would agree.
I love foosball.
So we got six categories.
Okay.
Who is your coach of the year in the National Football League?
Riverboat Ron Rivera, my coach of the year. I think there's one other good choice besides him.
I don't have Riverboat Ron as my choice.
Okay, I know who you have.
Okay, Zagura.
I'm gonna throw out a couple of nominees that I'm not gonna select. Bruce Arians.
What do you mean you're not gonna select?
With Arizona.
That's obviously yours, and that's who I was thinking you picked.
No, I did not pick him.
Oh.
I will also not pick Bill Belichick, even though he is very deserving, because he is the best coach. I'm gonna go with Mike Zimmer. Winning the NFC North with that Minnesota Vikings team, they should have beaten if it weren't for a kick. And I know shoulda, coulda, shoulda, woulda, blah, blah, blah. I think the coaching job he did in his second season with that Minnesota Vikings team was the finest coaching job in the land. They won the NFC North. They should have been in the Final Four. I think he did a tremendous job. I'm going to go Mike Zimmer.
I'm going Andy Reid.
Ooh, I thought about that as potential.
Here's a guy that literally was on his way out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about riding the ship? What do they rattle off? 11 in a row?
They
10
did.
10 in a row? Something
they
like
did.
That. I mean.
10 in a row.
And, you know, in the fourth quarter, we're down 7 points to the Patriots. Not a bad run. So I'm going with Andy Reid.
My assistant coach of the year is going to be Jim Bob Cooter of the Detroit Lions. Not only does he have the best name in pro sports, but when he took over that offense, they were on fire. Cooter power.
Not touching that. That will only end with me in meetings. How about the offensive player of the year, gentlemen?
Say that again. Offensive player of the year?
Offensive player of the year.
Cameron. You know what? No. I'm going to go Tom Brady. Tom Brady, offensive player of the year.
Because you want to split up your...
That's what I did.
I will go... I'm going to go Tom Brady as well.
I'm going Antonio Brown.
Okay. Okay.
Just for, I mean...
Just for fun?
For some of those perform... I mean, some of those games. You want to talk big game, big stage, stepping up and making all the plays. And I just think if they had him, Denver's not in the Super Bowl right now.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I'm still going to go with Tom Brady, but I would say Antonio Brown, because I said this as I watched multiple Pittsburgh games down the stretch. Ben Roethlisberger could have yelled out, "Antonio, I'm throwing it to you!" And the defenses couldn't stop it.
No, they could not. So Antonio Brown on the year, for those keeping score at home, had a very... Oh, this just has his playoff stats. What is that? That's nonsense. I was trying to get to his... Here we go. Hold on. 136 catches, 1,834 yards, and 10 touchdowns. What do you think? I'm just going to throw this out there, Gibbs. Gibbs, guess the stats. So what did we say there for Antonio Brown? 1,834 yards and 10 touchdowns?
Yes.
What
were
Julio Jones' stats this year?
Julio was over him in yardage.
No, you're incorrect. Was it catches? No, he had him by... He had him
Antonio
in one
Brown hit. Had him by catches.
You're right.
Hold on. Let me just restate the numbers one more time. Hold on. Let's get back to Antonio Brown here real quickly. Antonio, I love Guess the Stats with Gibbs. Everybody, it's everybody's favorite. All right. Antonio Brown, 136 catches, 1,834 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
Julio Jones had 13 touchdowns.
Julio Jones. Okay, I need all three. Give me all three categories.
What were the catches? Antonio Brown had 136 catches?
Is that
right?
Yes.
Is that what I just said, 136?
Julio Jones, I say, had 112.
No way.
Yardage-wise.
No way. Too high or too low?
Too low.
136, 18, 34, and 10 for Brown. Okay?
Okay. Hold on. What were the yards again for Brown?
1834.
Julio had about 1,400.
Okay, so Julio Jones, you have it 112 catches.
1,400 yards.
And how many touchdowns?
12.
12 touchdowns. In reality, Julio Jones had 136 catches.
Son of a...
He had 1,871 yards.
God, I was off.
And he had 8 touchdowns. So same catches, more yards, 2 fewer touchdowns.
How does that happen that you only end up with 8 touchdowns?
I don't know, but Julio Jones is a beast.
Maybe you would have won some more games had you gotten Julio Jones involved
in the
end zone.
Yeah, get him involved in the red zone. He led the team with 8 receiving touchdowns. Devontae Freeman, who might get a nomination later on in the show, led the team with 11 rushing touchdowns. Julio Jones is a monster. I mean, you think about Antonio Brown, those numbers he put up. Jones was there in catches, better in yards, just off in touchdowns. And touchdowns, you know, have a lot to do with game planning, where you get the ball, et cetera. But that blew your mind there, Gibbs. By the way, you are now 2 back-to-back seasons. I don't think you've ever been within 400 yards of Julio Jones' receiving yards. Because last year you said you thought he was injured and he had 800 and he had like 1,600 in 2014.
Yeah, probably.
He's good, man.
He is good.
And he's real good. He's better than good. He's great. He's only getting better. He's only been in the league for...
Did he do anything against us when we went there and played?
No, Hayden. That's when Hayden had that real good stretch.
Yeah.
Hayden played him very, very well, actually.
That's a big physical receiver, that's why.
Yeah.
That's why Hayden plays well.
Well, Hayden... Yeah, exactly.
All right. Defensive player of the year, gentlemen. Moving along. Thoughts?
Wilhelm?
I'm going to throw 2 out there, and I haven't determined who I want to win it. I'm going to go J.J. Watt, led the league in sacks, with probably the largest bullseye.
How many sacks did he have this year?
I think 18 and a half.
Okay.
And I think Khalil Mack was second with 16.
Okay.
I don't know who I'm going to pick. I'm going to go Luke Kuechly or J.J. Watt. And I believe the reason why is because both have won Defensive Player of the Year before, and the bullseyes cannot get much larger, and yet offenses can't stop either of them.
J.J. Watt's a beast, 17.5 sacks. I'm going to say Khalil Mack just because I like him, and I would also give a slight nod to Josh Norman because I believe cornerback is the most important defensive position along with guys who can rush the passer. So you give me Khalil Mack, Josh Norman, I'm pretty happy. J.J. Watt, he just is that good. I mean, obviously, if you said J.J. Watt, no arguments.
Despite what the previous regime may or may not have thought of wide receivers, the rest of the NFL believes that they're pretty darn important. And if you can shut down the game's best wide receivers, you are going to get my defensive player of the year. I go to Josh Norman.
By the way, people are unhappy with me choosing Mike Zimmer.
Well, yeah. Because your boy, Theodore.
Yes. Theodore. Don't forget my other boys there, too. Norval. I'm a huge Norval fan.
That's true. It's going to be fun to watch. If they can keep this whole group together when they get to the dome.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's going to change everything. Dome, that's going to help Teddy a lot.
Heck, yeah. Get him a few more weapons. Good night.
Yes. All right.
Offensive rookie of the year, gentlemen.
Todd Gurley.
This could end up being unanimous.
Yeah, I'm going Todd Gurley as well.
Yep, so am I. There's a couple different options.
By the way, second, real close seconds, famous Jameis. Probably third would be Amari Cooper, but he disappeared too much for me.
Yeah, down the stretch, you didn't hear anything about Amari Cooper.
And Devontae Freeman.
Not a rookie.
Was he?
Second year.
Is he?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You learn something every day.
Devontae Freeman was a rookie. He'd have won this. 1,600 total yards and like 14 touchdowns.
Okay.
Thank God we didn't play guess the numbers with me on that one.
On Devonta Freeman?
Oh, God, I'd have been off by 4 miles.
Oh, God, that would have been so fun. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea for Gurley?
I don't. I would say probably 1,200 yards.
Hold on.
Total yards or rushing yards?
Rushing yards, 1,200. Probably 10 touchdowns.
Okay.
Don't ask me carries. There's no way I'd be.
Gurley. 1,106 yards rushing, 10 touchdowns, 188 receiving.
How many touchdowns?
10. You were right on. What would you have said? Hold on. I want to know what you would have said.
It's a win for me.
For Devonta Freeman.
Oh, I have no idea. Dude, you just gave out the numbers. Like, there's no way.
But just, what were you thinking? Ballpark. You know, you can be honest.
I would have said probably 1,100 yards.
Total?
Rushing. Yeah.
But that's right. You said you were going to be off by 4 miles. You can't say that now. We've tainted the game.
No, we haven't tainted the game. Trust me, the game is still very much in play.
All right, give me Danny Woodhead's receiving stats.
Woo!
In 2015.
Shut up. Moving on.
Come on. Give us your best guess. Dan Woodhead, San Diego Superchargers.
My fantasy football name may or may not have a part of his name involved in it.
Okay.
It's clearly not appropriate for the air.
Okay, come on. Catches, yards, touchdowns. Just throw out three numbers quickly.
I'm going to say 65 catches.
Okay.
I'm going to say 600 yards receiving.
81, 756, and 6 touchdowns.
It's not horrible.
Not horrible. You're better with quarterbacks because the numbers are so much bigger.
Eli Manning, the bane of my existence.
You can just get completely lost. All right, one more guess the numbers. You ready?
Yeah.
Blake Bortles. Yards, touchdowns, interceptions.
Already, we already did this one.
You know it?
Yeah, we already did this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Defensive rookie of the year. Since we are just cruising right through breaks here in this hour.
Let's go.
Marcus Peters.
Kansas City Chiefs. Marcus Peters. Yep.
How about the NFL MVP?
Cameron Newton.
Dab on him.
Unanimous.
Cam's pants. Winning.
Unanimous.
It is MVP. Unanimous.
Dustin Delata says next Friday it's going to be Ask Gibbs for Stats 2016. We're going to make a whole show, 2 hours. Of you guessing the stats. No, you can't do any research, though, Gibbs. You have to be all natural.
I never do. If it doesn't come across on the air.
I never do. That's fantastic. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. We'll open up the phone lines again, 216-578-0850. Zagura Wilhelm Gibbs, CBD. Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding. Your
are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD, 216-578-0850. We talked earlier today about Jared Goff saying that he's going to throw at the combine. He's got nothing to hide. He's going to do it all. I love that. Love that attitude. Also, you and I talked off air about Pete Prisco's article about Josh Norman and the tell of how he moves his hands from man coverage versus press coverage. How important is that to film study and evaluation? And is that something that you guys ever got to pick up on? I know there was a thing of many years ago, people talked about if Ben Roethlisberger didn't have his heel fully on the ground on his right foot, it signified pass versus run.
Right.
What was one of the biggest tells you guys ever picked up on in your film study?
The biggest tells for me personally, there's two. There's one, as you look at an offensive lineman, A, what stance are they in? And because now offensive linemen are very comfortable in a two-point, you can run the football out of a two-point stance. So that tell is kind of gone. But early, I would say in my career, there were offensive linemen that would deliberately put right hand down with the ball running right, left hand down with the ball going left to use that advantage to kind of reach a guy. That was one. There's always, and that's something you've been taught since you were a kid, it's the, you can see the whites of their knuckles. That means it's run because their hands are on the ground and their body weight's leaning forward to get off on that football. We picked up I've said it before, Tony Gonzalez, when we played the Kansas City Chiefs, whenever he would either line up or motion to, the left side of the left side of the formation, the ball it was 100% certainty they were running away from Tony Gonzalez. It was pass or run away from Tony. It was just it. One of these days we're gonna all Saunders. He'll probably pick up on that and go, yeah, it's just something that you do to hide a player, away from where you want to run the football. So Jason Dunn, big physical, 280-pound tight end who caught 5 balls a season, was their blocker. Always to the right, or they'd motion, they'd trade and whatever. So it was very confusing. You had to follow it, but it would go Tony to my left, Jason Dunn to my right, run right or pass. That was a huge tendency.
And they were still effective.
They're still effective. Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson, good running backs. They were just very, very good. Will Shields was there.
Do you remember a tell, whether either something got picked up on somebody on your defense that they were giving some way, or like an individual one, like this thing that Pete Prisco's uncovered with Josh Norman?
You don't find out tells about yourself,
Well, in your self-evaluation might be like, hey, you're tipping, that when you're dropping, because every time you're about to drop, you do this.
Yeah.
And you never do that when you're rushing.
Found some of those about myself. Whenever I would not be, whenever I'd get into my stance, that deep linebacker stance and be, like a statue, I was definitely not blitzing. And so I was in some type of zone coverage and playing the run because I was focused in. I had a landmark drop. But when I was kind of like a little bit more looser and kind of hanging in my stance, it was I'm eventually going to get where I need to get to cover my man, or I got to be on the move. I didn't want to be a statue. So I'd have to get comfortable in an athletic position to be able to run to that or show something and then get, feed into my blitz. But the one other thing that we picked up on as a defensive player that you're actually taught is always follow, and the veteran running backs in the National Football League don't do this. Young running backs in the league you can take advantage of is you always have to watch their eyes. When a running back's going to get the football in the run game, they know where they're going. They don't need to see where's the hole? They can look at the formation and go, okay, they're in an over front, they're an odd front, they're in an under front, whatever. But when you see a back and their eyes kind of like shifting like a clock's ticking,
trying
to see, okay, who's moving? Is the safety coming down? Is it going to be cover 3? Could they bring this blitz? And it's so they're tracking the movement of the defense. And that's why you see so much pre-snap movement. So you catch that back, like eyeing you up, he's going to got you. He gets you. So that you go back to the sideline, you tell Wade Phillips, you tell, Greg Minuski those things like, hey, he's tracking me the whole way. And then in some cases is why you hear Eli and Peyton call out and Tom Brady who the mic is. The mic sets the front, And then everything thereafter is, and how you pick up a blitz is predicated off who you determine the mic is. The mic is not always not necessarily a linebacker. A safety could come down. You can bow your linebackers, which means, you know, backers away or backers weak, and you bring down that safety. That safety's down in a linebacker position, which if you watch enough Denver Broncos film, T.J. Ward does it. Stewart does it. Lines in that, but he plays coverage out of it. They blitz out of it. He runs back to a third out of it, runs to a half out of it. But you can see a quarterback go, 43 is the mic. And you're like, 43 is T.J. Ward. He's not a mic linebacker. He's the mic because they're turning the, you know, the protection that way. Yep. And then everybody else thereafter has their assignment.
Absolutely. Good football 101 with Matt Wilhelm. I like it. So do you think, when we're talking about that, you don't think Josh Norman is going to be able to stop that? Apparently what he does is when he's in press man and he's playing man, he moves his arms and his hands to kind of get ready pre-snap. But when he's playing zone, his hands are still.
Right.
And you don't think he's going to be able to do anything about that?
I don't, because
it's just a subconscious
habit. It's a subconscious habit of, you know, when you maybe when you're playing defense and, you know, your coach is like, you know, when you slap the floor when you're playing defense in basketball and you're like, and you got your hands out wide and, you know, it's like, and I know basketball and football is different, but it's like, if that's what you do, you're going to do it because you're in the moment, you're playing. And so I don't think Josh Norman, even if this is brought to his attention, he may out of the gates try to go against it. But once the game happens and he's in his flow and he's balling on Emmanuel or balling on Demaryius and whatever, he's going to do what he's done all year.
I think, though, for a guy like Peyton, he's going to pay attention to that because I think for Peyton it's a big advantage to know if it's man or zone.
Oh, for sure. And especially, as we pointed out in the videos that we've shot on this show and as you watch the football game, the guy opposite Josh Norman, you know, so whoever's – not if he's on Sanders, it's going to be Demaryius on the other guy, or, you know, Emmanuel on the nickel. Peyton, okay, I know I'm not throwing to Josh Norman maybe more than 7 targets this football game, but I'm going to throw it 35 times. So where are the 28 other throws going to go? And Josh Norman can tell me what they're going to be doing, you know, away from him. Correct.
Yeah. Now, the one time where he could get him is, as we saw last year, a lot of those half zone, half man. You know, you have the zone side of the defense, the man side of the defense, and then you can try to mix them up and confuse them right in there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about Todd Shea's mock draft 2.0. He's got the Browns going Jared Goff at number 2. We can get your phone calls and thoughts on that. 216-578-0850.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagura Wilhelm talking beer pong in the break there. So
shocking.
Gibbs,
Zagura thinks he's good at it.
I said it just for you. I do happen to be good at it. Beatbox could call pretty much anybody call and verify.
Okay, so wait, what do you mean by Beirut? Like, what are your rules?
Okay, yeah, that's what I was gonna get into. Okay. So Beirut, or what I call Beirut, is when you have the 10 cups in a diamond, but they're all touching. It's tightly packed.
Correct.
Which is hard to miss.
It makes it harder to
miss. So it's either all rim or it's going in.
How many times, please tell me you're not bouncing it off the table.
Oh god, this is a So let's okay.
I just have to throw it out there because there are people that play that way that is just
well,
dumb.
No, I've played a way where, you know, how when you're drinking, you're also playing beer pong, right? It's not so you have a drink in your hand and you're drinking the beers that are on the table.
Sure. I need to have a drink in my hand because I win so quickly that otherwise I wouldn't be drinking.
Correct, exactly. So, but I've played a few times with some people. I'll say. I don't know. I was going to name the name of that.
I hope they are people.
Yeah, there are people. They are actual people. And what happens is when we play, the rules is when you bounce one across the table and it goes in a cup, counts for 2.
But you can swipe it.
But you can swipe it. It's like when you catch people getting a little, I'm drinking. I'm kind of caught in a conversation and you're in a real game. You go, ba-beam. And I've done it before where me and my partner both bounce it in and it's 4 cups.
Okay. Do you play? Okay. So, Gibbs. So this is what I know as Beirut. The cups are in that tight diamond. They're all touching.
Yes.
Okay. And if, like, for example, you play 2-on-2. If you and I were partners, I would shoot, you would shoot. If we both made, we'd get it back.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. That's not what I consider beer pong.
Do you play by your own rules?
No. This is the rules that I was taught in Ohio.
Okay.
And so mine, it's 10 cups, same. but there's significant space between each cup, so it's a much bigger diamond. So it's much more a game of pure shooting skill.
You have to aim for a cup
and make it.
And make it instead of either hitting rim or it going in.
Right,
in
and you don't have the ones that like bounce off of one and then go. That doesn't happen. So it's much more of just a pure skill shooting game. And there's no.
I don't I'm fine need with skill. The double ups I want to get drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some times where like I want to win, but it's like when you're standing around and it's like. And you're playing with people who are bad?
No, but see, you're only playing this game. People are good. Like Matt Noble, Pete Aziz.
Well, not everybody can be good at
beer pong
it,
player. Well, that's why I said, do you call it, is it beer pong or Beirut? They're different games, and that's there's nothing
Here's
wrong
the
with
thing.
Them.
My whole thing is, number one, I hate the swiping. Don't bounce.
No,
you
no
can't
bouncing.
Swipe. Yeah. I think swiping's dumb.
I think blowing is dumb when like people say they can blow the ball out. That's dumb.
That's dumb. All that stuff's dumb.
Yeah. Do you play with re-racks?
You don't finger and blow?
You get one re-rack.
Okay, so that's all Beirut. So that's you're right. That's and I've heard that that's like Parma rules. That's what I'd call it. My friends in Parma, that's how they play. On the fancy east side, Matt, they play a much – no re-racking, the 10 cups spaced out, so it's like much more of just a shooting game of skill.
Yeah.
It's fun to play both ways because what's funny is you can make real big comebacks in the one that I play because – you could get locked in on a cup in the back row and just not hit it. And the other team can start to get hot and get some confidence. Then you start to put pressure on because it's just one cup and there aren't, you know, same thing when you get down to one cup in Beirut. There's just one, but you don't get the re-rack at the end. So, for example, if you cleared out the first three rows, the one, the two, and the three in Beirut, you can re-rack those into a four diamond.
Right.
And that's super easy again.
It's packed again.
Right. In this one, you take out the first three rows, you've got four spaced
See,
out
I don't
all
think
the way
it's
at the
easy.
End.
Like, even at, as the diamond, yeah, okay.
Maybe it's just because you're not that good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That could be.
That's exactly what it is. Says the guy that drinks beer for a living.
Well, nobody said you play beer pong for a living. I believe that if there were a professional beer pong league, I'd have a shot of being.
Have you played beer pong with liquor in the cups?
With, like, tequila?
Oh, yeah.
No, but I've done it with a lot of I enjoy Bud Light Vodka Lime for my beer pong.
It's good.
It's nice, refreshing.
Labatt's got a little lime, Max.
They have a lime one, yeah.
I had it the other night.
I'm a big fan.
Let me give you a broski tip, by the way. If you're ever in search of a lime beer and that you don't have a Bud Light Lime or Labatt Blue Lime, just have Bud Light and put a lime in it. You're welcome.
My good friend Dave Janko and I would be happy to take you on.
Bring it, boy. I'll get me and my buddy Pete Aziz anytime, anywhere.
We're pretty good. I have trophies for that, too.
Anytime, anywhere. You have trophies for fantasy football, and then you just told me that you came in last and were a disgrace.
I have trophies from fantasy football.
Exactly.
I didn't say from this year.
Exactly. So you're not consistently good. So you have high highs and low lows.
Oh, there's nothing about – we weren't good in the one league. I finished in the money in my other league.
Okay.
It's all good.
Okay.
I didn't win at all, but I got my money back in the other one. I'll take it.
All right. And you'd say, like – when you go into any beer pong game, you go into it thinking, like, there's no chance I'm losing this game.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Okay.
Because if you're cocktailing and you're already feeling good, there's never a guarantee.
I find that the more gone I am, the better I play. Because I feel like I can just, like, lock in. I start to get in touch with my whole body.
I think there's a window. Okay, there's a window where you're not drunk enough, but then there's also when you're too drunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that little window in between when you're like, you got that perfect buzz and you know it,
that's when you get your zone. You're loose.
Yes.
You're throwing loose.
Absolutely. But when you get in there too, Gibson, if you go out to the car with the kid in the window, and then you get in there, you can really dial in. You can get focused. You can get focused at beer pong. Lock it in.
I bet you can.
All right, let's go to Larry in Columbus. Larry, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. You know, you guys are killing me with this Jerry Goff. Hey, I like Carson Wentz. I'll tell you, Brett Favre's his hero.
Now we draft him.
Who?
Joe Montana's my hero, but that doesn't mean we should draft me.
No, I'm just saying. I've watched Wentz for the last couple of years, and you know we haven't had a shit for luck for West Coast or Left Coast players, aka Paul McDonald and Charles White and all those other dudes that didn't pan out. I like Wentz. What's wrong with Carson Wentz, for God's sake? The guy's a baller.
I don't know that there's anything wrong with him. I just happen to think Goff's better, and I think Aaron Rodgers turned out pretty good from the West Coast. Thomas Brady's turned out pretty good from the West Coast. I think there are plenty of people from the West Coast that are good. And by the way, if we're starting to do draft evaluations based on the quarterback's hero, Carson Wentz's hero, Brett Favre, and the hero for Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers. So I'd say maybe that's like a wash on the hero standpoint. It'd be great if I could. I mean, shoot, my hero's The Rock. Maybe I'll just tell Vince McMahon I should be his number one wrestling prospect. But I love The Rock. And the match.
Who doesn't like The Rock? Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, Gibbs. You want to go against Pete Aziz and Nathan Segura and beer pong? Yeah. That's going to be like Chico Santana coming after me in the Boston Garden wanting to get his hands on my Intercontinental title. And you know how that went for him. Not very good, Gibbs. Yeah.
I remember the first time I ever played beer pong. It was at my sister's college graduation party. And it was paired up with what would eventually be my brother-in-law's brother.
Ooh, yeah.
So the two of us, neither one of us had ever
played. Hold on, let me ask a question. If it's your brother-in-law's brother, isn't it also your brother-in-law?
No. I guess maybe it could be. Not directly, though.
How could it not be?
I don't know. Anyways, so we get set to play
confused.
This game called beer pong. He and I are paired up. Uh-huh. Like, we'll see how the night goes. I swear to God, it took us 7 hours to win. We were like, I'm not going to bed till I win a game. At 3 a.m., we won, and we ran outside in the middle of her street. She lives in some residential neighborhood, literally outside, whooping it up, hollering.
That's
finally
fantastic.
Won, and then I had an eight-hour drive back home to Illinois like the next day, and I pulled over numerous times to vomit. It was great.
All right, Gibbs, I've seen you play pool. Rank yourself at the following three games.
Yep.
Or you can give yourself even a letter grade if you want to. Pool.
I'm like a C.
Okay. Beer pong.
B+.
Okay. Cornhole.
Probably the same. B+.
How about okay. Golf?
Golf.
I like to drink. My handicap is golf.
Okay. And poker.
I'm like a B- C+ golfer.
Okay. Poker.
It depends if I care or not.
All right,
depends
I'm gonna
go. How much money I have invested?
I'm gonna give myself poker F-.
Yes, I would agree.
Poker F-. Pool
B.
B-. C+.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I have moments, but I wouldn't consider myself a good pool player.
I go on runs.
Yeah.
And then it just disappears as quickly as it comes.
Although I felt I played pretty decent that day. I think having the table in my house that I just hit every now and then. Your table rolls nice.
Thank you.
It does
have a nice
table.
Roll. Beer pong for me, I'll give myself, I'll just come out with it, A+.
Wow.
Cornhole,
God.
A.
There's always
golf, A.
There's always room for improvement, man. You can never give yourself an A+.
You're a scratch golfer, and you give yourself an A, and you're giving yourself an A+ in beer pong.
I've ran into more people that can beat me in golf than I have in beer pong.
That's fair.
But you don't need to drink beer.
I do, well... I know I don't. It's because I win at beer pong. I don't. That would be. I have to be forced.
Now see,
it'd be forced.
We did a beer pong tournament.
Let me interrupt real quick. I want to give a public service announcement to people real quick. Don't ever eat sushi, and then play beer pong for hours. That rice absorbs the beer and expands, and your stomach might come out of your stomach.
Speaking from experience.
Yes, I almost died. I thought I was going to give birth.
It's not good.
No, it's bad. Don't ever do it. Okay, go ahead, Gibbs.
No, so a couple of years ago, we held this beer pong tournament, and there's a certain TV personality here in town that came. There were a number of people there. It was just a big drunk fest. Hang
nice.
Out, have fun. A certain TV personality shows up, and he goes, and he showed up, and we were kind of already into it, but my one buddy showed up late, and we're like, hey, you know, he goes, yeah, we'll pair up. It'll be great. And so they start playing, and the team that they're playing puts one in the cup. So my buddy, you know, chugs the beer. Next guy puts one in the cup, and my buddy, the TV personality, is like, dude, you got to drink that. And my buddy Mark goes, what do you mean I got to drink that? It's your turn. He goes, no, man, I'm allergic to hops. I can't even drink beer. My buddy had to drink everything all night. And
he's
they were
not,
the
that's
worst
not a
team.
Good partner.
They were the worst team known to mankind. I'm not even going to name names. But my buddy was so polluted, I had to call his wife and be like, he's not coming home tonight. We can't even put him in a cab. He can't even talk. He's just drooling on himself.
He's non-functional.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, I mean, I feel like before you get into a game, you need to at least acknowledge your limitations as a beer pong partner.
We were all like, what?
Yeah, that's not fair.
No, it's not good. But it was great as long as you weren't on his team.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Final thoughts, CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. Final thoughts, CBD.
My final thought is not giving my prediction right now because we're going to give it tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to do that tomorrow. I want to know, though, give your Wilhelm, your rankings.
My ranking, my grades for myself?
Yeah, pool, poker.
They're all actually very close.
Okay.
I would say cornhole in the zone, B+. Cornhole fresh out from not playing for a while, probably a B-.
Okay.
Poker, probably a B-, C+.
Solid. You were solid. You were solid. I've given,
I
by the way, Gibbs,
bad spots.
Gibbs, for you, all the grief you give me, I've given myself by far the lowest grade of anybody on any one individual thing with an F-.
I would say golf.
Yeah, but you gave yourself an A+ and an A.
Well, I believe it.
Golf, I'm a C.
Okay.
When I play consistently, I can be a C+ or a B-. And that's okay for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to get really good.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the time to play when you're really good. What was the last one?
Cornhole, golf, pool.
Pool. I didn't say pool. I did say pool.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, then yeah.
No, you're there. You're good.
I'm a B, B-, C+ in all of them. Well, and when I play them more frequently, I can become a B or a B+ in all of them.
Let's go to the most important one. Professional athlete.
I'm professional athlete.
Not applicable.
A plus. A plus. Plus plus.
I'm N/+ A. Not applicable. Drinking, what would you give yourself, Gibbs?
I'm a solid B+.
Yeah, I think I'm a solid. I put myself in the upper Bs.
Yeah.
I wanted you to say A-, because I think I can A- drink.
What's so funny about that?
I could probably do the A-. There are days I bring the A.
See, I woke up with like no hang. I don't get
hangovers anymore.
I woke up like lazy on the third.
Oh, yeah.
The night after my birthday, because it was a late night cleaning up and all that kind of good stuff. But what's so funny about the night, it's like random when all multiple different types of alcohol are available to me at one time. It's like I started off, I had a couple beers. I slammed those like water. Then I moved on to vodka. Once I sat at the table, you know, they got the wife making shots. I go back to beer at the end of the night when I'm around the pool table.
I just did all tequila other than the one shot. And if I had the opportunity to wager, if I just assessed every bottle of liquor you had down there and I could wager which one bottle of liquor the kid would partake from, the black raspberry rum was like – a no-brainer. I would have won a fortune. I would have bet $1 billion to 1 on it. It was a lock of the century.
It was.
Like, this black raspberry's not bad.
We didn't even say black raspberry. He said something else.
He was calling it something else. I'm like, no, it's raspberry. Yeah. It's black cherry rum.
Yes, yes, yes. He's
like, cherry's a little more sophisticated. Well, we will have the kid tomorrow. We'll be able to talk about all of that, all the gloriousness tomorrow on CBD. Stay tuned for Hooli and Dino. Huh? Nice. Nice. We like that. Stay tuned for Hooli and Dino. For Raj, for Gibbs, for Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850, WKNR.
Fuel by Bar.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.